All right, we're going to read from Psalm 23, which is on page 544 on the Bread Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that though you are so very different from us, that you are all-knowing and all-powerful, though you are everywhere, and we're so very limited and broken and weak and distracted, that you've made a way for us to know you and a way for us to have a right relationship with you through the Lord Jesus. We pray now that as people who have this right relationship with you, as people who can know you, that you would help us to hear your voice as we read your Bible. We pray for the work of your Spirit in all of us, though dealing with a text which we've, many of us have probably grown up with, we pray that you would bring old things and new out of it for us. We pray that as a result of our time together, we would grow more like Jesus and live more like Jesus in your world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I'm not a poet. I certainly couldn't write something like Psalm 23, but here I've had a go. I've written a Psalm 23 for one of my international students. Let's see if you like it. I have no shepherd, no one to lead, care, and protect me, and so I'm very needy. I'm so busy and tired. I'm so lost and stressed. I feel I'm becoming more like a machine than a human. I often wander off and do wrong things because I need to survive. I find myself in the darkness. I'm afraid and alone. I always feel vulnerable and under threat. I think I'll have enemies follow me all the days of my life, and I don't know what happens after those days of my life. What happens after death? Probably nothing. Well, this is how my internationals feel. Most of them, these are all things that have come pretty much straight from the mouths of my international students. But maybe for some of you, and this is one of the great things about visiting a church where you don't know everyone, maybe some of you, this is how you feel, or at least a little bit, sometimes. Maybe it's not, and I'm assuming it's not for most of you the way that you feel, because you can say, I have the Lord as my shepherd. You own this psalm. It's mine. It's on my wall. So for some of you, I hope, this is an offer for you to consider. Imagine having the Lord as your shepherd. But for others of you, this is a reminder of the good things you have from the Lord as your shepherd. But for you guys who love this psalm, got it on your wall, I own it, I want to push you to go a bit further than just having it on your wall and loving those words. I want to encourage you to share those blessings with others, especially those who are lost, like my international students. Unashamedly, one of the main applications of this sermon is keep supporting Focus. Well, before we even hit verse 1, we learn it's a psalm of David. And so this psalm has been written by King David around about 1000 BC. Let's read verse 1, our old favourite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. David doesn't speak as the king of Israel, but he speaks like a little sheep under his shepherd. Now, shepherding is a very familiar idea to David. He started his working life out in the field as a shepherd, but it's not such a familiar idea to us Aussies, at least not to to most of the Aussies, because when we think of shepherding, where do I point? This guy here? Wait, I thought that might happen. I'm a bit unschooled in this one. Anyway, when we think about Aussies... Oh, that one, another arrow. Very deceptive. Okay. Okay. When we think of shepherding, we think of this. The guy on his quad bike, beeping his horn. If there's a slow sheep, he runs into it to help them all to go a bit faster. We're not thinking of that when we read Psalm 23, but we're to think of something a bit more like this. This is a Middle Eastern shepherd who's taking his flock across a really busy highway. I wanted to show you the whole YouTube clip, but I couldn't work out how to do that, and so I've just got a picture. I'll tell you what happens, though. He takes this flock, it's in the CBD. He takes his flock across a really zoom, 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 zoom busy highway, and then he stops them on a traffic island while the cars are both zoom, zooming here. His whole flock is there, Well, they're still zooming, actually. He sort of just moves out in front of the cars with his flock, leading them the whole way. And if you listen carefully, you can hear him making funny sheep noises. And I think he's got a staff in his hand. That's what we're to think of. This guy, he's leading, protecting, and he's caring for his sheep, just as God leads, protects, and cares for David, his sheep. And for anyone who, like David, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." A note in passing, verse 1, that the Lord is in capitals, and so that's God's personal name. It's Yahweh. We're dealing with our personal, relational God here. He is the shepherd, the carer, the protector, the leader. And when he is your shepherd, you shall not be in want. In other words, he gives you what you need. Because he knows you completely, he loves us completely, he gives us everything we need, if we're his sheep. Now, of course, in a way, all people everywhere are his sheep. He made all people belong to him. He knows all people, he loves all people, we're all his sheep. But the vast majority of humanity has turned away from him to live lives for themselves, living lives of sin. And so instead of being part of God's flock, they have wandered off from the shepherd. Instead of having the blessed life of the Lord as their shepherd, they choose to live alone and chase after the things that they think they need, going their own way, unaware of wolf-like sin that's actually herding them towards their death. But for those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," he gives us everything we need. It's not everything we want. It's not even the things we think we need. He gives us the things we truly need. And that's the hard thing, isn't it? It's an important and painful lesson that I'm still learning, and I'm sure you are too. I thought I needed a new car, but now I've lost my job. No, Jesus gives us the things we truly need. Have a look in verses 2-3, and we'll see what we need there. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So let's see. Here we go. That's what you need. You need this lovely, fresh, green grass. See, we get so busy working, 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 oblivious to the wonderful blessing, sheep, that we stand in. And so God gives us what we need. He grabs us by the wool and he forces us down into that green grass, delicious blessing. Now, I do this hand gesture. You see my hand gesture? Watch this, all right? It's a very professional hand gesture. This is especially for the younger viewers. Grab the sheep, make the sheep lie down. Now, I can do that with such expertise because I used to do that when I wanted to show everyone that I was a real man, when actually I was still a boy, but I wanted to say I was a real man. I would wrestle sheep, and you can jump on sheep, and you can make them lie down, the poor things. That's what God does with us. We're in the green grass, the lovely, lush, fresh green grass. He scrubs us and he makes us lie down. That's what we need. When we're so busy working, working, working to be someone, to be awesome, to maybe even working, working to save ourselves, he grabs us, scruffs us and makes us lie down. How does he do it? Well, in lots of ways, by pulling us into his flock, of course, but also helping us to see the good things that we have as his flock. It comes from coming to church. Church, I think, is a great place where God scruffs us and makes us lie down in our green grass. We come together and we hear the voice of our shepherd. We hear of our undeserved blessing that we can't work for in an exhausting world that's all about work, working for food and friendship and fun. We get our teaching from the Bible. It gives us rest. But our lives are so messy, so complicated, so confusing. Where am I going? What am I doing? What about if I make a wrong decision? Will I screw up my whole life? No, he leads us beside quiet waters. In other words, he gives us peace. We listen to our shepherd and we learn from him. We're reminded that he's in control, that God has an unstoppable good plan for his sheep. And he's leading us along that good, unstoppable, perfect plan for his sheep, even if it doesn't feel like it. Everything is ultimately going to be okay, and so our shepherd gives us rest, and he gives us peace. And it comes to us through his word. It comes to us as we gather like this, as a church, together, as a flock, hearing the word of our shepherd. At my church, Crossroads, don't tell them I told you this, because they're going to find it on the internet. Not that they would, but they could. My church has got this terrible thing that they do now where they think it's okay to just come to church every second week because they're so busy working, 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 chasing after things they think they need. What do they need? They need God to scruff them and force them to lie down in that green grass. They need to be at church every week. Well, they might say, but I have my quiet time most mornings. That is a very good thing. Make sure that you are still someone who spends, I mean, maybe you're not a morning person, but even if you're not a morning person, I still think hearing the voice of your shepherd to start the day is so precious. And in this day where you're going to be so full of working, working, working to get stuff, to hear the voice of your shepherd who brings you rest and peace through his word, don't stop doing your quiet times. And certainly, don't get into that Crossroads habit of coming every second week. You need to come here for God to scruff you and make you rest and remind you of the things that you already know are true. And that's the thing. I mean, Psalm 23, you know it. You've got it on your wall at home. You can recite it without even looking at your Bible. That's the green grass. You say, yes, well, I stand in it. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to work with God and scruff you and make you lie down in the green grass of Psalm 23. Let's see if it works as we keep going. We need rest, we need peace, and we need restoration in verse 3. In verse 3a, we see how he restores us. He makes us what we should be. When a sheep leaves its flock, it will die of loneliness. I haven't Googled to check this out to see whether it's true, but I saw it as a kid. I'm pretty sure I saw it as a kid. And I think I remember my dad telling me as a kid, see that sheep over there who's away from the flock? If we don't get him and bring him back to the flock, he's going to die. When humans turn away from God and turn away from his flock, we get sick. That's for sure. You don't need to Google that. That's just true. We get sick and we will die for it. We become sick creatures. Here's Gollum under the mountain. Sin eating at us, corrupting us, making us not what we should be. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we enjoy his rest and his peace, and he restores us. He brings us back to true humanity. He makes us what we should be. We need that rest. We need that peace. We need restoration, and we need to know and do what is right. And so we come to verses 3b through to 4. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He guides us in the right way, in the paths of righteousness. And so again, here we are with our Bibles again. With our Bibles and the Spirit, he shows us what we certainly should do, what is right and what is wrong. Again, an obvious thing, but when I was becoming a Christian, someone told me I needed to hear voices. Seriously, they told me Bible is good, but you need to hear God's voice. And so I desperately tried to hear God's voice. And so as a result, I was so unsure of what was right, what I was to do in my Christian life. I was still, despite in theory having the Lord as my shepherd, I had no idea of where to go. I was like a sheep without a shepherd, even though I had the shepherd. But when someone put the Bible in my hand and with God's Spirit in my heart, off I could go in paths of righteousness, the freedom of knowing, no, this is right and this is wrong. In verse 4, things aren't too right. Things aren't too wonderful, at least. Walking along that path, things turn dark and evil. Evil is there, it's lurking, isn't it? Like a wolf that wants to tear us to pieces. And so, I'm missing all my wonderful pictures for you. Look at that. There's the still waters. There's the righteous path. And here we are in the darkness. This is life maybe when you lose your job or when someone close to you passes away. This is you when you feel alone. But actually, you aren't alone when God is your shepherd. You can't see anything. What's going on? Why is this happening? How could this happen? You can't see what's going on, but God can see. He's walking right in front of you, like the Middle Eastern shepherd, across the highway. He's carrying his tools too. He's got his staff, and he's got his rod. His rod protects you from that evil that lurks, and his staff, that's what he uses to lead you and to care for you. And so, as shocking as it sounds, rather than being full of concern in the presence of that evil lurking to tear you to pieces, you can have comfort. Yes, things are dark and evil. The evil is right there. You can't see, but you're being led, protected and cared for through it all. You don't need to be afraid of that evil in the darkness because your shepherd can see it. He continues to lead you, care for you, protect you. He won't even let the evil touch you. And David's speaking very personally because at this point he has evil threatening his life. It's probably 2 Samuel 17 as the context where his enemy is actually his own son. Enemies are lurking, death is lurking, but he knows the Lord is his shepherd and he shall not want. And so even in the darkness with evil right there, he has just what he needs. God is with him and comforting him. But he goes further than that in verse 5. Have a look at this next step he takes there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So now David drops the sheep metaphor and he just thinks about what's really going on in his current situation. His enemies are following him. They're getting closer and closer. But if verses 1 to 4 are everything's going to be okay, in verses 5 to 6 it's everything is going to be blessing. He rejoices in these verses because it's not just him who is kept safe through it all, but it's him and his blessing. He's not going to get through this by the skin of his teeth. He's going to get through this with a table of blessings, with extra virgin olive oil all over his head, wine all over the table, and all right in front of his enemies. When the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want. In fact, you shall be abundantly blessed. It's like where your enemies are bashing at some kind of sapphire protective glass. There we go. There's some protective glass. And then while they're bashing at that protective sapphire glass, God sets you a table of blessing. Delicious. And as you're separated from those enemies by that protected glass, they're snarling and threatening and bashing at the glass, but nothing can separate you from that feast of God. And then you're sitting down and you're about to enjoy that abundant blessing feast and something starts dropping down on your shoulder maybe, and it's God. He's pouring this olive oil on your head and it refreshes you and it makes you feel alive. And then God, your shepherd, He fills your cup up with the most expensive, delicious wine, and you say, "God, it's full now." And he just keeps pouring, and it pours out everywhere. So much blessing all over the place, because when God is your shepherd, he keeps you safe from your enemies. But more, he blesses you in front of your enemies. Now they're there, they're snarling. You're too horrible. You're too hypocritical. You're too half-hearted. But they can't touch you or your blessing. As impossible as it might sound, he goes further still in verse 6. Let's read that. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where are the enemies? They've disappeared. It's not them following you now, is it? Who's following you in these verses? It's goodness and love are following you. Or grace, it can also be translated. God's goodness and grace follow you all the days of your life, right up until that day when you enter God's house, when you dwell safe with God forever in heaven. So can you see the picture? You've got the whole picture now. You're walking through life with Yahweh, the Lord, as your shepherd. He's in front. He's leading you, protecting you and caring for you. But then behind you, there's God's goodness and love following you, bringing goodness and love to you all through your life. And then at the end of this very escorted and protected journey, you arrive safely at God's house, your home forever. This reminds me of that story, I'm sure you know it, of Israel in Exodus 14, when they've left Egypt and they feel like they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The Egyptians are right behind them, hot pursuit and all that, and then they're trapped at the sea. But then God, in that pillar, moves between the Egyptians and them as they camp there. And so the Egyptians, they can only see thick darkness all night, but Israel gets this amazing nightlight, blazing fire. Imagine that while you're trying to sleep. A bit scared, Mum. Here's a blazing fire pillow, nightlight to keep you safe and warm through the night. Or what about the next morning where the valley of the shadow of death is that sea that parts for them and the enemies are close behind? No, they're not. God's goodness and love are following them in that massive pillar that separates them. And in front of them, God's shepherd is leading them through. So led and cared for and protected. That's you. That's you with the Lord as your shepherd. You shall not be in want. Maybe you're in a time of busyness and stress and mess, confusion and complication. Maybe you're in a time of darkness and you have so much evil all around you, so many enemies, but maybe not. Maybe you're in a time where everything is just fine, thanks. Regardless, you need this shepherd. Whether you feel it or not, trying to live your own life, your own way is so wrong. It's like a sheep trying to live without his flock. It's a sick life that ends in death. And God wants to make your life so right, to bring you into his flock, to be your shepherd, and so to give you everything you need. More, to give you abundant blessings. And as Christians, we love this psalm. We put it on the wall. We say, that psalm's mine. I own that. We recite it to ourselves in times of darkness and are comforted by it. But, and here's the twist. Sometimes we forget that this psalm, read alone, leaves us with a problem. We can't just rip open to the middle of the Bible and read this psalm and say, that's mine. We have a problem. It doesn't make sense in the context of the book of Psalms. It doesn't make sense in the context of David's life, in the context of the Bible or our experience of the world. You say, how dare you say there's a problem with this? How dare you say that I can't have this psalm, that it doesn't make sense? It's not your psalm, and we have no right to this psalm, because Psalm 14 has not too many psalms ago just told us that we are all sinners who don't seek God, let alone follow him like a sheep with a shepherd. Psalm 15 says that only perfectly good people can dwell in the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28 tells us that David was a man of blood, and so he couldn't even build God's house, let alone be in it. But worse, in 2 Samuel 11, we learn David is a murderer and an adulterer. This is not David's psalm. How dare he say this? This is not our psalm. How dare we say this? This psalm does not belong to us. Take it down off the wall. This psalm belongs to the exception. The only man in the whole of human history who is not like all the other humans in the whole of human history. 1,000 years after David penned this psalm, this God-man came from the house of the Lord, so perfectly good to sinful humanity, so very bad. But he was more and is more than the God-man who can actually have Psalm 23 for himself, Yahweh as his shepherd, abundant blessings, the house of the Lord. This God-man, this Jesus, in around 30 AD said this. This is from John 10, verses 11 to 18. He said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Jumping a few verses. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. Jumping a few more verses still, verses 27 to 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. So we need to see Jesus, the only one who can ever have this psalm left to himself, this as the God-man, but also as the shepherd who can give us this psalm. We need to see that Jesus, the God-man shepherd, came to make this psalm our psalm. He identified ancient enemies behind all other ancient enemies, sin and death. And Jesus identified that this enemy was within us. And so Jesus worked to save us from these enemies. The good shepherd allowed sin and death to attack him like a pack of wolves, sacrificed his life for the sheep to free them from sin and death. But because he is the God-man shepherd, he takes his life up again and rises to life to give new lives to those who would join his flock. In 33 AD, Jesus, the God-man, good shepherd, died to bring the blessings of this psalm to us lost sheep, to fix this problem, to make Psalm 23 for us. Okay, you can put it back up on the wall now because he's taken our sin upon himself, he's taken our death, he's risen to life and now gives new lives. Now he can be your shepherd, you can be his sheep. We can all have Jesus, the risen Lord, as our good shepherd. We can all have the good shepherd give us everything we need. We can all have God's rest and peace and restoration and be led to live his right way, to comfort us when the darkness comes, to protect us from our enemies, to bless us with goodness and love and bring us into his house to be with him forever. So, this psalm is a promise of great, abundant blessing to us, but it only comes to us through the good shepherd, God, man, Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. So what? Give me a reason to wake up. If you haven't got these blessings from the God, man, shepherd, and again, this is the great thing about being the guy who doesn't come here every week, I don't know you all. If you haven't got these blessings of the God, man, Jesus, then you need to speak to Jesus. You need to say sorry for turning from him, for leaving the flock. Thanks for his giving his life to save yours. Ask him to forgive you and take you back into the flock. But if you do have these blessings, then you need to remember what our Lord said. Remember those lovely words, come, you're probably waiting for me to say this, come to me all who are weak and burdened and I will give you rest. We need to have that heart of compassion of our Lord, of our shepherd Jesus, and let's bring people to him so that they can enjoy that rest that he has. Bring people to the shepherd and give them rest. And so here it is, as you can guess, I'm so keen for you to bring those abundant blessings of our shepherd to international students. They're here in Hobart, I'm serious, and they've got nothing to do with no nurtured aversion to our good news. They're lost sheep, and they know they're lost. They're keen to hear about our shepherd. They know they have a great spiritual darkness in their home country. They know religion is controlled and forced underground. They have no posters on their walls or on their friends' walls. They have no Bibles in their hotels. They don't know there is a shepherd who promises to give them all they need and can give them all they need through the Lord Jesus. Our international students are here like sheep without a shepherd. Their parents, or at least their dad, don't shepherd them properly. It's this strange mix of being controlling and yet distant, certainly not leading and caring and protecting. Their government doesn't lead them properly. Their government's corrupt and has left them disillusioned and distrusting of authority. They are sheep without a shepherd. And so they come here to Hobart, like sheep without a shepherd, and they come into the warm and loving and accepting hands of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. This is something that has increasingly become the case on campus, is that the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are really active and they're really good. They offer this false shepherd and they're really good at giving it to them. They will pick the international students up and bring them to their churches and get them back home. They will call them a few times during the week. They will go to their house and do Bible study with them, one-to-one, to teach them about the false shepherd. They do a much better job than I do of this work. They have a lot more money than I do for this work. And so they offer them this false sheep, this false shepherd, to these poor sheep without a shepherd. And that's sad, but even sadder still, perhaps, is that many others of these international students, they can come to Tasmania and they can be none the wiser when it comes to God or Jesus. As much work, as many international students as we get, hundreds every year at Friday Night Focus, we still get so many who say, I never heard of Focus, as they climb the stairs up into their aeroplane. So many of them will live and die in their sins and face a horrible eternity without the shepherd, without that shepherd who can take their sin and death and give them life and rest and peace and restoration and right living and leadership, protection, care, goodness and grace, leading them all the way into the very house of God. But we can change that. Increasingly, we want to be growing this ministry and reaching more and more international students with this news of the shepherd, the good shepherd, who has died to take their sin and death and has risen to life to give them life and bring them back into the fold and live that abundantly blessed life of having the Lord as their shepherd and not being in want. We would love to hear this. Listen to this. Here's another take on Psalm 23. Maybe you'll like this one a bit more. I used to have no shepherd, and so was very needy. But now Jesus, the God-man, is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I was busy and tired, but now he makes me lie down in green pastures. I was so lost and stressed, but now he leads me beside quiet waters. I was becoming more a machine than a human, but now he refreshes my soul. I wandered off into wrong ways because I needed to survive. Now Jesus guides me along right paths for his name's sake. As I find myself in the darkness, I'm not afraid of evil or alone, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I'm not vulnerable and under threat. The Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. I don't know about these enemies that will follow me, but I do know that Jesus' goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life and take me safely to the house of the Lord, where I will be forever. And I know it's not because of anything that I have done, but all because of Jesus, the God-man, good shepherd, who laid down his life for me. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his laying down his life for us and then taking it back up again so that we can return to your flock and take the words of Psalm 23 as our words. Thank you for leading, caring, and protecting us all the days of our lives and for the certain hope of entering your house. But we pray for those lost sheep without a shepherd, that you might protect them from those who would come to them with a false shepherd. We pray that you might protect them from that horrible situation of having come to Tasmania and never having heard about your good shepherd. Father, we want to bring your good news to them. We want to give them a way to have the Lord as their shepherd and so never be in want. And we pray this in the name of our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.